is going to come and bring our Bible reading to us. Thank you, Dave.
John chapter 9. John chapter 9, which is on page 1075 in the church Bibles in front of you, John chapter 9. We're going to read the whole chapter. John chapter 9. As he, that is Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
Thank you, Dave. A short prayer, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Colin and Adita's testimony this evening. We thank you for the way in which you have been with them and have upheld them at such a difficult time. We thank you that they've been given the strength to testify to your goodness before this congregation this evening. And we ask that you would continue to uphold them and strengthen them and others here this evening who are suffering in one way or another. Lord, we thank you that you're a good God. Help us to go on believing that and trusting you when things seem so dark and difficult. Lord, bless your word to us tonight. Give us understanding of it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we've been talking about suffering this evening. And in a moment or two, I'd like you to put up your hand if you have ever suffered. Now, you may not have suffered in the way that Colin and Adita have recently. But it may be that somebody has spoken hurtful words to you. It may be that you've fallen over and you've hurt your knee. Yes? If you don't mind, put your hand up if you have, at some point in your life, suffered. I think that's everybody. We know what it is, don't we, as human beings, to suffer, to feel pain. And it's not very nice. And we might ask the question, why does God allow us to suffer? I mean, he's a good God. He's a loving God. He's an all-powerful God. He could easily take away our suffering if he wanted to. So why does God allow us to suffer? I don't know all the answers. I don't think there's any human being on the earth that knows all the answers. God, of course, does know all the answers. And he does reveal some of the answers for us in the Bible. We're not going to talk about all the possible answers this evening. But we are going to talk about one reason why God sometimes allows Christians to suffer. Peter, can we have the first picture, please, up on the screen? We're going to talk this evening about this man who was born blind. Can we have the next picture up? Here he is, look on the left-hand side of the picture. He was a man who had to beg in order to stay alive. Life was probably very difficult for him. I mean, can you imagine not being able to see? Life must have been so difficult for him. Now, Jesus is in the middle of the picture. His disciples are walking along with him. And the disciples of Jesus ask Jesus the question, why was this man born blind? Was it because he sinned, or was it because his parents sinned? You see, they automatically assumed that he must have suffered because someone, somewhere along the line, had sinned against God, and that had made God really angry, and had therefore punished him by causing him to be blind. The Pharisees assumed that when people suffered, it was because they had sinned against God in some way. But when you look at what Jesus had to say in response, verse 3 of John chapter 9, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work or the power of God might be displayed in his life. There was a reason this man had suffered. Throughout all his years on earth, it was this, so that God might do a work in his life, so that God might display his power. Let's have the next picture. Because we read that Jesus spat on the ground, and with his saliva he made some mud, and he put the mud on the man's eyes. He then told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Next picture. He did that in obedience to Jesus. The next picture shows him washing out all that mud. And guess what happened? What do you think happened once he washed out all the mud? He could see. Have we got a picture of him being able to see? You know, I visited the opticians a few months ago, and I was given a new prescription, and these are my new glasses. And when I first wore these glasses, driving home from Swanley Town Centre, it was wonderful. I could see that the number plates on the cars in front of me, as well as the cars coming towards me. It was wonderful. But this man saw clearly, having never ever seen before. I think he must have been so happy, don't you? So overjoyed at what Jesus had done in his life. Next picture. He went home, as you might expect, and, well, he met friends and neighbours, but they were kind of divided in their opinion as to whether he really was the man that had been born blind. But he insisted that he was. What did he say? I am the man. Of course, he went on to speak to them about what Jesus had done for him and how that he had enabled him to see. Well, these people, they took him to the Pharisees. I think we've got a picture of the Pharisees. Here they are. These were the religious people in the land. These were the people that taught the word of God. These were the people that were supposed to be in the know. Well, they questioned this man, and he told them his story and what Jesus had done for him. But you know, they wouldn't believe that he had been born blind. And so they insisted that his parents came along to testify to the fact. And I think the next picture shows, look, his parents being brought to the Pharisees, probably by the temple guards. And the next picture shows the Pharisees, and the man who had been born blind, and his parents in conversation with them. Well, his parents confirmed to the religious men that their son had indeed been born blind. But, you know, they didn't know, or at least they said they didn't know, who it was that had healed him. And I suspect that they probably wouldn't have talked about Jesus, even if they'd known about Jesus, because anyone caught talking about Jesus and saying that he was the Christ or the Messiah would get thrown out of the synagogue. And they probably wouldn't have wanted to have been thrown out of the synagogue. And so mum and dad said, well, you better talk to our son. He's old enough. You know, let him speak for himself. And so the Pharisees began to speak to the man who had been born blind again. You know, these Pharisees, they really didn't like Jesus. They didn't like the idea that people followed Jesus. One of the reasons why they didn't like Jesus was because he did things on the Sabbath. The Sabbath being the Jewish day of rest. They didn't think that all kinds of things should be done on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus had healed this blind man on the Sabbath. And they considered that to be work. Work that shouldn't be done on the day of rest. They actually considered Jesus to be a sinner because he healed the man on this day. But you know, this man kept on testifying to the goodness of the Lord Jesus. And how Jesus had healed him. And how he'd become a follower or a disciple of Jesus. And to cut a relatively long story short, these Pharisees became really angry. I think you can see, can't you, in that picture that they became angry. They didn't like anybody, you see, talking about Jesus. And so they threw him out of the synagogue. Now I'm going to stop telling the story at this point. I have got more that I want to say in just a moment. But this man had been born blind, and for a reason. Jesus provides us with the reason. It was so that the work or the power of God might be displayed in his life. I hope Colin and Adita won't mind me referring to them at this point. They've been through a time of suffering, but did you notice as they told their story how that they testified to the fact that it had provided them with opportunity to speak of the Lord Jesus? They've seen a purpose in their suffering. Actually, I would want to argue this evening that we, as a congregation, have seen the power of God at work in their lives, giving them the strength, the confidence to be able to tell of the goodness of God. I've brought a couple of books with me this evening. Actually, they're the same book. It's a book entitled Ginny, Come Back. Ginny is my aunt. Ginny has been suffering for many years now with Alzheimer's. Don't know what Alzheimer's is. It's basically where your brain stops functioning. And my uncle, Uncle Gough, he gets his wife Ginny up every day and she sits in a chair and she's kind of like that as she's sitting in her chair and she can't talk with anybody and it's very difficult and he puts her to bed and again she's like this in bed and she has no quality really of life at all. And there was a time a little while back when my uncle just felt at rock bottom. He felt that he was in a really dark place. Why had God allowed this? Why had God made life so difficult for them? And yet, looking back, I think some of us can see why God allowed it. You see, if you visit Uncle's house today, he'll give you a warm welcome. It's clear that joy is in his heart and he goes around the house doing various things and looking after his wife, full of love towards her. We see the power of God at work in his life, giving him joy and enabling him to be a good witness in the most difficult of circumstances. This book came out of Uncle's difficult circumstances, out of his suffering. And this book has been read by many, many people and proved to be a great help to them. Actually, I should have said this a moment or two ago, the carers have been wonderfully impressed by Uncle's witness, by the power of God at work in my uncle's life. And one of the carers has become a Christian. It's been helpful to him to see a purpose in his suffering. Sometimes we don't know why. But sometimes God allows suffering in order that his power, his work might be seen in the midst of it. Well, let me very quickly finish the story. You see, Jesus did another wonderful work in this man's life. We've already seen that he opened his eyes, but Jesus did something else as well. This man got thrown out of the synagogue by the Pharisees, and when Jesus heard what had happened to the man, he went and found him. And we've got one more picture. And here is Jesus speaking to the man. And the conversation went like this. Jesus said to the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Well, he did believe in the Son of Man. The Son of Man is an Old Testament character, one promised by God who would save and establish a great kingdom for himself. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Yes, the man believed in the Son of Man, but he didn't know who the Son of Man actually was. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe and worship." It's a lovely story. Not only did Jesus open the physical eyes of this man, Jesus also opened the spiritual eyes of this man so that he could see who Jesus was and believe in him as his Saviour. I brought a couple of pictures with me tonight, and I want to show you these lovely pictures. This is a picture of King Kong. I think you know who I mean when I talk about King Kong. And he's got a lady in the palm of his hand. And if you look at the bottom of the picture, you will see lots of buildings, high-rise buildings. It's a picture, you see, of King Kong in New York. I hope you enjoyed that picture. Here's another picture. This is a wonderful picture. Here it is. And you've got men surfing in this picture. You've got large waves. You've got dolphins. And you've got clouds and birds in the air. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Don't you think? Or aren't you sure? I'm not telling a lie. I can see the picture clearly. And I'm sure that some of you, if you look carefully at it, could see the picture. But some of you, no matter how long you spent looking at it, wouldn't see it. You see, some can see, and some can't see. This blind man came to see who Jesus was and put his trust in him, recognizing that he needed him as his Savior. Whereas the Pharisees, they just couldn't see who Jesus was. Neither could they see their need of him. You see, they were spiritually blind. They could see with their physical eyes, but they couldn't see the truth about Jesus. And there are lots of people throughout the centuries who have considered the message of Jesus and his cross as foolishness, ridiculous. When we come into this church, we're going to hear the Bible read and taught. We're going to hear about Jesus. We're going to hear about his life and his death upon the cross and his resurrection along with his ascension into heaven. We're also going to hear about his return. He is going to return one day. And I pray that as we hear about the Lord Jesus, that he would work a miracle. That he would open our spiritual eyes. That we might see him for who he is. And understand why he died upon the cross and rose again. So that we might come to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins and the certain hope of heaven. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this great Bible story. It's a story that's been told so many times before. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did a work in that blind man's life all those years ago. You enabled him to see with his physical eyes, but even more wonderfully, you enabled him to see the truth about yourself, and he came to believe on you as his Saviour. Lord, suffering is a mystery. We don't know all the answers, and yet, Lord, you have given us some answers. But even when there aren't answers, we pray you would help us to trust in you. But more importantly than anything else, help us to trust in the only one who can save us from our sins and give to us a life in heaven itself. Lord, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the food that we are about to eat. We thank you for those who have prepared the food for us. And we pray these things in your worthy name. Amen.